Now back to Good Morning New Hampshire with Peter St. James and Pat Kelly on 107.7 The Pulse.
You know, you and I have been to a lot of concerts over the years, throughout our life. We've been to a lot of shows.
Yes.
A concert I did not make, and I would love to have been at one, Linda Ronstadt.
Oh, I know. I never saw Linda.
This is what it would have sounded like. Linda, in concert, Atlanta, 1977. Force of Nature right there.
And a great band with her.
Oh, the band was awesome. And by the way, this song, You're No Good, is not a reflection on our next guest.
You know, I was
No.
I was hoping.
No, I was in the Linda Ronstadt mode, and, you know.
It's a great song.
Well, yeah, thank you. I was either going to play Ronstadt Tumbling Dice, which she did in 77.
Great, or You're No Good, which
most people know. So I just figured I'd work that in. But anyway, it is our pleasure to welcome our bud, State Senator Dan Feltes, back. How are you, Dan?
I am good. How are you, Pat and Peter?
We are doing just fine.
Living the dream. Living the dream every day.
There you go.
Yeah, you know. Some days it's a nightmare, but, you know, it's easier for us than it is for you because you're wearing a state Senate hat. You got to go back to work in the state Senate, and you're wearing a hat of a Democratic gubernatorial candidate as well. So, busy guy.
Well, the most important hat is parents, and, you know, spending time with Iris and Josie, our daughters, and during this shutdown phase has been the silver lining in the whole thing, Everybody's healthy. We're fortunate. To everybody out there who is working hard in public health care on the front lines, first responders, again, thank you for everything you've done. And certainly we got some huge challenges, though, in the state, and we're going to start dealing with them in the state Senate level. You know, nursing home crisis in New Hampshire is among the worst in the nation in New Hampshire, COVID-19, and it's a heartbreaking situation, and we got to deal with it. It actually wasn't until yesterday or the day before that Governor Sununu announced that he's actually testing all residents and all workers 3 months after the first case in New Hampshire. And we got to do better than that, guys. We have to do better than that. We are better than that.
Well, is that okay? 3 months after the fact, is that like closing the barn door after the horse is gone, though, because the pandemic is supposedly working its way out of here? Is it too much, too little, too late?
Well, the cases, depending on how you look at the data, the cases are, accelerating to some degree. And in nursing homes, we still have outbreaks, and we still have increasing numbers of outbreaks.
So
that is a major, major problem that, you know, steps haven't been taken that should have been taken consistent with federal guidelines. No one expected no cases in nursing homes.
Right.
But no one expected New Hampshire would be making national headlines based on the problems in nursing homes. And, you have people, you guys know, I served as a legal aid lawyer right out of law school up until serving in the state Senate for about a decade, including representing veterans and low-income families, including seniors in long-term care facilities and nursing homes. And they are among our most vulnerable, and the reflection of a society is how it treats its most vulnerable. And the failure to protect seniors in nursing homes and long-term care I just think is outrageous in my view. But
isn't it? Didn't I see the numbers? 80% of the deaths attributed in New Hampshire to COVID-19, 80% were from extended care facilities.
Yes, it's roughly 80%.
Okay.
Look, you have whole floors of folks who have been lost to COVID-19 and some of these facilities. You have family members on the outside, and they have to be on the outside, just hoping and praying that their loved ones make it through. Mm-hmm. That's what's going on to this day. We move forward with reopening, we can't lose sight of the fact that this is still a major crisis in New Hampshire. And we got to look out for one another, and we got to do better.
Because you cannot campaign the traditional way, walk up and down the sidewalks, kiss babies, do the usual thing. Mm-hmm. You have to do it on the phone or Zoom or whatever. What are people saying to you? Are they upset about the way it's been handled in New Hampshire? They want something different. What are they telling you?
The frustration with the way it's been handled by the Sununu administration is just starting to grow. I think for a while people were, quite frankly, comparing the press conferences of Sununu to the press conferences of Donald Trump, and obviously, admittedly, that's a low bar to surpass. But the press conferences are one thing. The problems on the ground are much different. And you can't continue to do press conferences and not talk about the real problems people are facing. And, even on the nursing home issue, the administration came out and said, one of the press conferences, I'm paraphrasing, they said, we're going to present you with some new facts to try to change the narrative. Well, that shouldn't be the priority, changing the narrative. The priority should be solving the problem. And that's what we're all in this for, is to try to solve problems and help people and protect people. And I mean, that's what I've been doing, trying to do my whole life. I grew up in a working class family. My dad worked in a furniture factory for 45 years, the same one, on air conditioning, doing roughly the same job day in and day out for 45 years. My mom, part-time jobs, including the night shift while raising four kids. And after law school, served in legal aid, including helping people during the last economic crisis, the Great Recession, protect against foreclosures from Wall Street banks, help get access to health care, unemployment insurance, job training. Some of the same people who fell through the cracks then are falling through the cracks now. We need to work for them, working people and working families, and lift them up, protect working families, help them, protect seniors, help them. That's what this is all about to me, and that's what I'm going to keep fighting for.
Do the people you talk to, Dan, and this applies to whether you're campaigning or whether you're in your real estate senate, when you're talking to people, are they more concerned about now or are they concerned about down the road? And what I'm thinking about down the road is when the lack of revenue catches up with all of the obligations that we have on the state and people
right.
Wondering how that's going to impact them.
I think most of the conversations are a reflection of the concern of the now, and that's reasonable. And, for months we've gone through this all together, and for months most folks were wondering what tomorrow will even look like, and grappling with that. But there are some certainties. There are certainties in terms of key problems that we need to solve working together. There is the certainty that both in this fiscal year and next fiscal year, the revenues, state revenues, will be lower.
Mm-hmm.
In this fiscal year, Governor Sununu has the money there to stabilize the budget and protect taxpayers. The question is whether or not he makes that decision. He previously unilaterally cut funding for addiction treatment services, prescription drug relief, housing, and homelessness. It's our understanding that some of that, at least it's been represented that some of that has been backfilled, although we don't have the transparency that we need in the budgeting process to be clear about what's going on with taxpayer money. But the upshot is this, that needs to be backfilled. The state budget and our taxpayers need to be protected, and our local communities need to be protected. We need to look out for our communities, our towns, and our cities, and property taxpayers. we got to look out for them, not continue to look out, as Governor Sununu keeps on pushing for more and more tax breaks for big corporations. That's not the time right now. We need to protect property taxpayers, protect working families, protect seniors. That's what this is all about. That's what, you know, we're going to continue to talk about. So right now, obviously, you know, a lot of folks don't know what the next day might bring, but it's getting to a point where, you know, getting a little bit more of a rhythm, I think, for a lot of folks. And really, people, everyone wants to get back to work. We just need to make sure that it's safe, that, you know, workers are safe. And worker safety is public safety. So look out for workers. Support small businesses. Don't do what Sununu did, which is take away the PPE access to small businesses and then just put it all at the liquor store. Small businesses, family businesses need the access to the PPE, and we need to support small businesses and family businesses, support workers. So that should be, in my view, the focus, and I think we can do that. I'm optimistic. We're, you know, this is New Hampshire. We can do it.
So what do you say? What does candidate Feltus or / Governor Feltus say to the cities and towns that are finding themselves squeezed between increasing expenses and decreasing revenues and mounting pressure on property taxes? What do you say?
I'd just be blunt. I mean, look, we built a budget in the state legislature that gave the historic support for towns and cities, the biggest public education budget in state history, finally doing full-day kindergarten, finally supporting and providing municipal aid. We need to protect that budget and build off of it and support our towns and cities even more. And I was very disappointed that the Trump administration, quite frankly, rewrote the CARES Act, the stimulus monies, to say that you can't support towns and cities in a very flexible way. Now, they revised that guidance in a way that I think allows a lot of flexibility for our towns and cities. But at no point during that process did Governor Sununu say or stand up to the Trump administration and say, we need to provide flexibility for towns and cities. At no point did he do that. We need to support our communities. Supporting our communities is supporting police officers, it's firefighters, it's our teachers, and it's our property taxpayers, and we need to support them.
Is it time to take a look at broad-based taxes? As opposed to property taxes, especially with what's been going on, do we put discussions about sales tax or income tax on the table?
I don't support a broad-based income or sales tax. I also don't accept the proposition it's either property taxes or broad-based income or broad-based sales tax. What we did in this last budget to build all the support that we did to help public schools and help our communities was in part by closing loopholes that big multi-state, multinational corporations enjoy in our tax code, including, just give you a concrete example, a company like Netflix, which under our old corporate tax code wasn't paying anything, now is going to, after we close that loophole, is going to pay something. They obviously had a tangible business relationship. They're selling a product into the state of New Hampshire. They should have been paying corporate taxes. They weren't, and now they are. So that's an example of the kind of business tax reform and loopholes that you can close to build the kind of budget to provide support to public schools, to our communities, to alleviate some of the burden on property taxpayers. And, you know, there's a whole bunch of ideas that people float out there, but I reject the proposition it's either increased property taxes or a broad-based income tax. That's the way of thinking from decades ago. And that leads you to the same position where Governor Sununu is, where he drives taxes for big corporations down, while everybody who's listening to this program right now has their property taxes go up. That's what we've seen under Governor Sununu, and it needs to change.
We're going to have to rock in a minute, Dan, but you came out with a People's Plan reform agenda and recently. And one of the things you asked the governor and Councilor Valinsky to not self-fund their campaigns. Is that a problem?
It is a problem. I think it's a problem. I think that self-funding is not the – you can self-fund and you should just abide by the standard contribution limits. And to go beyond that and self-funding campaigns and not releasing your tax returns, which Governor Sununu and Councilor Valinsky has not done, I don't think that inspires a lot of trust in the general public. And right now, we gotta work for the people, work for the public. That's what that plan's all about. And you know, I put it out there. Every provision of it is out there. People can see it. People can debate it. Maybe it needs improvement. Maybe there's areas that need debate. That's okay. But that's what you do, is you put out a plan about that, because we need transparency in government. We need transparency in our elections. And we need campaign finance reform.
All right. Well, look, we probably won't chat next week, so we're going to probably have to wish you a happy Father's Day now, because we won't catch you on Friday. Have the girls figured out that you're just riding mom's coattails at this point? that Aaron's the star and dad's just kind of hanging on?
Well, Josie is now saying, she says mama, and to me she refers to as not the mama.
There we go. So things are aligning. I got it.
Well, that's better than mama and senator, you know. Dan, always a pleasure, my friend. Have a great Father's Day. We'll talk again soon.
Yeah, take care. You guys, too. Be well.
All right.
You got it. Thanks, Dan.
8:30 is the time. Concord Food Co-op just around the corner.